Pepsi Hotline is where we go for Peter Burns now. SEC Network, at Peter Burns ESPN on the Twitter. What's up, PB?
I just had lunch with a beautiful Chris Doering, and I tell you what, the glow, the tan that he's got working right now is impressive. I mean, it's like rock star if he was a Florida Gator. I think that's the best way to kind of put it together for your listeners and viewers.
We actually joked about this or discussed it a little bit on the air Monday as you guys popped up one of our five screens that we were debating on whether or not he got a real tan or whether he was in a tanning bed or not, because obviously he's bulked up and he's probably the best shape of his life. But is it a real tan or does Doreen go to the fake tan?
Hey, Chris, real tan or fake tan? Oh, give me the thumbs up. It's a real tan.
I mean, he lives in Gainesville. And so all he does is probably drive around with a Jeep with his shirt off like 24/7. I would too if I was 68 years old like him and I look like one of those male testosterone hormone commercials. You know those commercials where it's like this guy's 72 years old and he's absolutely ripped? Like that's going to be Doreen after he's done working for us over at SEC Network. No doubt.
And if he was doing the tanning bed, he would have one of those little alligator emblems that he would put like in his Speedo. Because I guarantee you, Burns, I guarantee you dated one of the girls back in the day that they had the different little Playboy emblem that they could use. Yep.
Yeah.
In
the tanning that bed. Always seemed like the one to take home to mom, didn't
it? Yeah. Oh, hey. Of course.
Good full commentary. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. This is Bambi. And oh, yeah, she just happens to be a Playboy Bunny fan. That's fantastic with the tramp stamp as well. Jeez.
All right, let's talk to football. We will save time. I've heard this story. You guys will love it. A Ryder Cup story from Peter Burns, one of the most amazing somebody not where they're supposed to be stories I've ever heard. Let's other than Texas is the obvious answer to this question. So look beyond Texas. This is the biggest Arkansas football game since when?
Gosh, I'm trying to think.
He said, look past virtually the last meaningful game they played. Look past that one, the next biggest game they played.
That's why I got to go back. And I think of maybe
Petrino,
like 07, like him going into Baton Rouge with Peyton Hillis and Felix Jones and Darren McFadden and knocking off number one ranks, because this is what it's about, right? I mean, you got to have these program building wins. And I think Texas was able to do that, but to clean sweep the state of Texas between Texas and Texas A&M would be monstrous, because that's, Arkansas kind of lost that luster when A&M got into the conference because they were no longer the westernmost team that played in the SEC. And to be able to do that, especially when this is quote unquote Texas A&M's, coming out party, would be absolutely huge for them. So, I mean, it feels like a cage fight, right? It feels like two great defenses and what is it, 9 wins in a row for the Aggies. And it feels like it's been like 9 points that have separated the two in those games.
I feel like I'm bringing this game up nonstop, but Mississippi State LSU, and it was kind of a bloodbath the wrong way for your LSU Tigers last year. But this is one of those games that's really difficult to handicap. And if Mississippi State was going to have a semblance of a special season, they needed to get through those first 3 games unscathed. That was kind of controversial, the Calvin Austin touchdown there at the end of that game. They're sitting at 2-1. LSU, obviously, with the loss to UCLA, 2-1. This is a big game for Orgeron, and I think it's a big game for Leach to prove he can do it in back-to-back years against a brand like LSU.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what he's trying to do, especially at home, is recruit. But I go back into kind of the first question you talked about Sam Pittman and that big game being so big for Arkansas. It's big for Arkansas. It's also, I mean, think about it. There's a lot of pressure on both Jimbo Fisher to win this week and Ed Orgeron, and probably even more so for Ed O after the debacle of last year. And I'm friends with a ton of LSU fans. I myself am one of those people that we were like, what is this team? Like, I don't know. Like, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And if it's 2 years in a row, that's not gonna bode well for Ed O. I mean, LSU has dominated State. I think it was like 26 of the last 29 meetings. You lose 2 years in a row coming off a national title, man, that and it ain't gonna get easier, right? Auburn's solid. I mean, you look at Arkansas. I mean, the SEC West is a damn murderer's row. And I'll throw this question back to you guys. Is the loser of that game clearly the worst team in the SEC West, which is crazy because I think they're both top 30-35 type caliber team.
But they are. The loser of LSU Mississippi State, I think, at the bottom.
I don't know, though. I mean, it could still be Auburn. It could still be Arkansas.
Changes week to week. But right now, I think you'd have to put them down there.
I would. And the SEC Network this weekend, you're home for another triple header. Georgia Vandy, the first game at 11 right out of SEC Nation. You go Georgia State Auburn in the afternoon window, late night with Southern Miss and Alabama over at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Another game happening down in the swamp, which was a great atmosphere last week. Tennessee and Florida. Peter, you're of the age, of course, you remember when Tennessee and Florida was the game in the SEC early in the year, maybe for the entire year. Can Tennessee even make this game interesting down in the swamp? And if so, what has to happen?
Yeah, I mean, what, they won 15 of the last 16, right? And we had Josh Dobbs on our show today, who's now the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, and he was like, yeah, it hasn't been much of a game except, you know, when we beat them in 2016, and that was the last time in a long time. You know, here's a convoluted answer to it. I don't think Tennessee can make it interesting, but I think Florida can. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
If Florida comes out and all of a sudden they're sleepwalking because they're still banged up, and a lot of teams are banged up after playing Alabama, but hey, the crowd's not going to be as loud. You know, what do you expect in that game? Do you get cute and, you know, Anthony Richardson's back there, but it just doesn't quite work out? I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, there's still such a talent gap. And I talked to people at Tennessee, you know, even this week, they recognize that, and they don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. I think it's truly a game time decision. So I would be shocked if this is anything other than a 20-point win for Florida. It'd be really disappointing if it isn't, because I think that amount of talent, you know, you got to back that up, right? If you truly want another opportunity to play Georgia and get an opportunity to beat Alabama again, you don't mess around with Tennessee. Like, you should beat Tennessee by 3 touchdowns this week.
Peter Burns, SEC Network, at Peter Burns ESPN on Twitter, is with us on the Pepsi Hotline. We were discussing Bryce Young before the top of the hour. Nick Saban's teams have conditioned us to expect Bryce Young to do exactly what he did, but I don't feel like the world gave him enough credit for that being his first road start ever in that atmosphere against the top 11 team and performing the way he performed.
You know, I mean, I saw Suttle send out a tweet saying, hey, I've been to a lot of ball games. This is as loud as I've ever heard.
Yeah, we had a lot of fans call us and say that. I mean, apparently was pretty loud.
We don't think twice about it, right? And, I mean, it's not fair to Alabama because we hold them into this pedestal of being like, all right, well, if you don't throw a perfect game and you just throw a no-hitter, well, I mean, you're not good anymore. Like, it's just the worst team. I mean, we're living this, like, constant microwavable, like, jump-to-conclusions map where it's like, all right, well, they can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. You know, what the hell is going wrong with them? And I just think it's laughable at this point. I mean, Bryce is doing what you expect a seven-figure NIL deal quarterback to do, right? It's just throw 3 touchdowns and play flawless football. So, I mean, I don't think there's a doubt that there's a roadmap to beat them, but let's be honest with you. I mean, how many teams can beat Alabama right now? Maybe Ole Miss if they catch them on the right day. Georgia, of course, but I don't see anybody else in the country. And if there's only 2 teams that might be able to beat you, you're still pretty damn elite in my book.
You bring up Ole Miss. Better chance of happening. Ole Miss wins the West for the first time in the history of that program, or Kentucky comes in second in the East this year?
I can see Kentucky coming. You know what? Damn you, Lance. Because that's a damn coin flip, right? I mean, it's a coin flip of a situation, because I can see a situation in which Ole Miss plays just enough defense and to hold, you know, a couple of field goals instead of touchdowns. But I still think that Kentucky is the second best team in the SEC East. I mean, I as much as I love what Florida did, I think the matchup works really well for what they're trying to do. So if I had to lean one, I'd still say it's probably, you know, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. My problem is I think this, it sucks for Lane that they had a bye week this week. Like, I know everybody likes a week to prepare for Bama and get right. I think they would have been better off playing Bama this week while they're rolling instead of, like, staring at Alabama in the face for 10, you know, 14 straight days, because that's, I know at least in the LSU days, that's, they would overthink Alabama way too much instead of just saying, hey, we're going to do what we normally do. They would try to change everything. And I hope Lane doesn't do that. We have a hell of a game in Tuscaloosa here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I think Lane Kiffin is using his social media intelligence He's an AI on social media. He's using that, I think, to take the steam off the top of his team with what he's doing this week in news conferences, talking about Alabama. Don't upset Nick Saban and his guys and what he's doing. Cedric, thanks for the license plates last night with light poison. It seems like Lane Kiffin's very much in a comfort zone with this team and poking Nick Saban on social media. This is sort of in his wheelhouse, it feels like.
Yeah, and it's also what we call a ritual apology, right? If you know what a ritual apology is, it's like apologizing, but like, guys, it's what I did for my SEC Network audition. Like, I went in and apologized to everybody beforehand, so I set the expectation low, and therefore, if I was actually good, it actually somehow worked out. And if I failed, I'm like, well, I told you guys beforehand, and I think that's kind of what Lane does in his brilliance of being like, dude, they are great. It's talking to his team, but it's also kind of building in, you know, and a little bit of an excuse of, hey, if Alabama wins this game, hey, I already told you that they were that good. So, I mean, he's sharp when it comes to social media. That's for damn sure.
All right. Peter Burns is an amazing Ryder Cup story. To make this work, hang tight, Peter. He's on the Pepsi hotline. I need to do this. Jessup Standifer and the Standifer Insurance Group. I tell you, auto rates have lowered 4 times in the last 12 months. You got to have insurance. You may as well be getting the best value you can. They've been serving the Southeast for more than 20 years. Have your insurance coverages ready, what you pay every month. Call this number for insurance checkup, 205-664-3200, 205-664-3200, or on the web, StandiferInsuranceGroup.com. It is the 2016 Ryder Cup, Hazeltine National. The U.S. rolls 17-11 in a massive beatdown of the Europeans. Take it away, Peter Burns.
All right, real quick, am I going to get a hard out or I got a little bit of time?
We got a solid 5 minutes.
We own it. You go as long as you want.
I love it. So 2016, I get a phone call from Taylor Zarzer. Hey, I got an all inside the ropes pass up the Ryder Cup on Sunday. Can you make it? The answer is hell yes. You say yes, right? So I get done SEC Network. I fly up there. We go up and have a great time. Now, Taylor's high school or college teammate is Phil Mickelson's pilot at the time. And so he says, hey, listen, you know, we've had way too many cocktails watching them. And he goes, if we win, let's all go back to the Radisson Hotel where both teams were staying, and we're going to party, and we'll get you into the post-party. We're like, hell yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Unbelievable day. United States wins it. We get a phone call saying, hey, meet at this back entrance of the Radisson, which sounds so seedy. Like, this is Lance's old school days, right? Like, a drug deal going down. So we go back. Some guy just, like, lets us in, and we're in the hotel lobby. So it's only for players and spouses. So we kind of hang out with the American team, but we can tell there's another party going on. And that's the real party we wanted to get into. So after about an hour, we're like, all right, let's leave. As we're walking towards the back entrance, the Euros door for the team party is open. You know, they had just lost. I'm thinking, all right, it's going to be dejected. Well, I'm hammered. So me and Taylor decided to just walk into the European team party, right? I mean, worst case scenario, they kick us out and we say, sorry. Well, nobody says a word. It's open bar. There's like 50 people there. Sergio Garcia is playing darts. They're all singing. They're hammered, having the greatest time. We're like, dude, this is awesome. You know, Patrick Harrington's like playing ping pong. We're like, oh my God, this is great. So as we're leaving, we're like, all right, we couldn't get into the USA party, but this ends up being better. So what happens is we see an arrow right by the bathroom. We're like, let's go through this door. And then it leads us through another door. And then like out of a mafia movie, we go through a kitchen following this arrow. We're like, dude, do you think this is what I think it is? I'm like, let's keep going. So we turn the corner and there's a security guard there. Security guard looks at us and he goes, no, 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 guys, y'all need to go that direction. So me and Zarzer think that we got totally busted, okay? Well, the security guy doesn't know who we are. He's only been told if you see somebody that comes this way, that means they're part of the European team. So the security guy who's making like $9 an hour, he thinks we're part of the European Ryder Cup team. So he tells us to take a left. We take this left into the door. As soon as I open the door, boom, we nearly crash into Tiger Woods. We have crashed into the actual party of all the Ryder Cup and the U.S. America and the team playing. Like within 30 seconds, they try to kick everybody out of the room. And I think it was Darren Clark was the European team captain. Me and Czar like freeze. We're like, well, if we leave now, we're going to get kicked out. They're going to know who we are. So we sit in kind of like a corner, like not making eye contact with us. Darren Clark gives the unbelievable concession speech. It's him and just the U.S. Ryder Cup team, and me and Zarzer are like huddled in a corner eavesdropping. So we hear that, and that's crazy. But then this is the crazy part. About 30 minutes later, everybody's drunk. Lee Westwood comes in hammered. I'm talking like absolutely just 9 sheets to the wind, okay? Lee Westwood goes, hey, where's Tiger at? Where's Tiger at? We're like, oh, my God, like this is going to be a fight. So I pull out my phone. He gets in Tiger Woods' face, put a finger in his face, and goes, Tiger, you're lucky you didn't win. You didn't play this week. I would have whooped your blanking, you know what? And Tiger's back at him. He's like, hey, Lee, when I get healthy enough, I'm going to kick your butt. And everybody kind of like a schoolyard fight. And we're all kind of gathered around, and I've got my like an idiot my phone out. And sure enough, Lee Westwood grabs Tiger Woods by the back of the neck and French kisses Tiger Woods. I'm talking like grabs him full French kiss. Mickelson falls on the ground like Ricky Fowler.
Hey,
like,
not the worst looking thing Tiger's made out with.
No, trust me. It would have been. There's some stories there as well.
Yes.
And we see Westwood French kissing Tiger Woods, and I'm like, I just again, I don't know if I've ever been to a situation that was wilder and crazier. And if you don't believe the story, next time you have Taylor Zarzer on, ask him, and he confirm every little last piece of it.
Oddly, not the craziest story Peter's ever told us as a group, but that might be number two right there.
It did sound like you were pouring a cocktail there for a second, were you?
Peter's done with the day.
Hey, the biggest upset is Tiger's. There was no women there, and Tiger's there?
Hey, it was there's other stories that I can't tell on air.
Yes. I've heard those too. You need to hear them.
I will say this. At one point, I got a photo of Mickelson talking to Tiger, and the conversation was Phil trying to convince Tiger that he just shot the best round in the history of professional golf in his round at the Ryder Cup. And Tiger's just oblivious, like, bro, I can't believe. And Mickelson believed every moment of it as well, too. So chaos, to say the least.
Peter Burns, at Peter Burns ESPN, see him on the SEC Network this weekend. Thank you, Burnsy. Have a great weekend.
Later, boys. Miss y'all.
All right. Take care. That is Peter Burns. He joins us on the Pepsi Hotline. Rockstar, I just can't get it up quick enough. I'm sorry. That's what she said. Yes, I know.
Well, like, I got it. I got you.